Welcome to On Tap, episode 4. We are on property. It is icebreaker week. We've talked about it, that it was coming up, and it kept getting closer and closer, days and weeks and then days. Now it's here. It's race week. We had practice today.
It's present.
It's here. It's upon us. So excited that the season is back. Race cars are back on property. A good crowd. Overall, Brian, I thought the lead up, all this stuff that we've been talking about, went pretty well.
Yeah, you stressed for so long, especially if we were a couple weeks ago. We said we got a lot of physical labor to perform.
Yeah,
this place is a mess. What are we going to do? But we pulled it off. And infield's filling up. Looks good. And looking forward to the weekend.
So as you can see on camera, we've got we had a plan to get some drivers in here and have like a round table thing. Didn't play itself out today, but we had already planned on having this man in studio here on tap with us, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Diaz from Southern National, welcome to On Tap.
Well, no,
it's you, the applause right now.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I see the sign. I see the sign over there. So that's absolutely.
Right.
No, great to be on, man. It's cool. You know, like you guys are doing a great job down here with this. I've watched all the episodes, so I'm hooked.
So it was funny the other day. I got a text from Justin Milliken. From one of our, like, I think it was episode 2,
right?
It was episode 3. We were talking with Doug about the restart zone and what we thought we could do, if we do zone or we do line. Had that whole conversation, and Brian and I, we have our opinions on certain things, and we agree and disagree in areas. And one is that Brian has his opinion on racing incidents. Sometimes it is not the person that spun the person's fault, because that person is somewhat at fault. And we made a comment.
Well, when you make it sound that way, the person that spun the person, but they spun themselves. There's different terminology that goes hand in hand.
Anyways, Justin, the guy that he was speaking on, texted the other day. He goes, "Hey, just let Brian know. He knows what happened in that restart." I told him, "Well, I'm glad you're tuned in. That's awesome."
2017, we haven't talked since then. I'm kidding.
100%. Killed a friendship. No, 100%. I get you. No,
but Mike came down. Mason's racing this weekend, You know, we've had our conversations on this broadcast or podcast that a lot of things transpired since November, even after the Thanksgiving Classic to this logo that's on your mic stand to the logos that are spread across the racetrack. And there's a good, bad conversation out there on social media. People have positives and people have negatives. They're talking, right?
So just like you've mentioned on all the other episodes that's going on, it's nothing against. I believe in the NASCAR product, right? It's just a matter of, like, does the NASCAR product, like, for me at Southern, does that platform fit how I want to race Southern National, right? So, like, my shorter season, my everything, my twins, now that, you know, and a lot of people would, I think education is really the key thing if they're going to decide, oh, man, you should have stayed, you should have done this. But if, you know, my season's shorter from March to my championship's June 14th. So, and then Speed Weeks is coming up, which is part of second race for the showdown, which I think is going to be great. And then, so they took twins away. So now twins don't count until May. Well, my season's halfway done by May. So now I can't count twins. So, you know, you do those things with the NASCAR and to try and keep your drivers, get your drivers to the track. And like some of those things that were beneficial for me as a track are now gone. And so it just doesn't fit, you know, my business model down there, right? So,
well, and I think the nice thing that for us here at Florence is working with someone like-minded like Brian and I that get to kind of make cool decisions, that we don't have to send that up a ladder that doesn't end up back at our ground, right? It doesn't get to the level we're at,
right?
Like the I-95 showdown stuff. I mean, this stuff that we're dealing with, once 2025 is over and everyone can just see it big picture and see when it's all said and done, when they get to go on the boat with us, you know, when it's all just done and it makes sense. Like, it's so hard. Like, we had the issue when we did, I know we bring it up all the time, Daytona One Beach Madness. When we did our Daytona One Beach Madness back in the day, explaining it, like, even, I'll go back to Justin, is Justin called and he's like, "Son, I can't even understand what in the hell is happening."
It's a pretty good impersonation.
Yeah, thanks.
But
it's because it is complicated, but it's
camera brings it out.
But it's very simple at the same time. And I think once they do it one time, just like Beach Madness, once it's done and you see it, you're like, man, that's exactly how we need to do it. You know, even like our Palmetto Clash, our point system, the way we're built is that you don't have to work all season long and be here every single week. We want you here, but you don't have to.
Sure.
Because these guys, you know, that's a lot of work for them. But the things we're doing, we sit and we stew and we call and we talk. Absolutely. And we process. And when it's all said and done, I really think everyone's going to look back and be like, man, that was exactly how it needed to get done. And I'm looking forward to it. And so I don't, you know, we talked about, we don't get on social media and really like get involved in it. But at the same time, we read it, and it does, sure, bother us a little
bit. It does. No, 100%. Yeah. I guess that's live.
Is that NASCAR?
It's Bob Sargent. It's Bob Sargent.
Arca race?
Yeah, it's Bob Sargent with the Arca race. He's calling me to figure out. He's probably calling me. He calls me all the time, and he's like, hey, I know you're in the late model stock now, so I need to know something. And I'm like, going, why do you think I'm in the late model stock now? You need to call somebody else. And he's like, oh, whatever. You know exactly what I'm about to talk about. Yep. I'm like, okay, maybe I do.
But anyways, thanks, Bob, for calling in.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob, we should have had him live.
Yeah,
we can get him on live, but, you know, at another time. So.
We needed to get him set up for an actual live footage of him, but it's all good.
There's going to be pros and cons. There's going to be pros and cons from 2025. Let's just hope that the pros outweigh the cons.
I think they're going to.
But I think the thing about all three of us is whatever the cons are, we're going to use that as constructive criticism. We're only going to make it better for 2026 and beyond.
These original conversations that came up, there were other tracks that heard little whispers and then contacting us to say, hey, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, let's just be realistic. I like to throw a bunch of stuff up against the wall, see what sticks, and come up with some neat stuff.
When?
And then you guys, never do that. But, you know, but you guys do the same thing, and we're just like-minded, right?
Yep,
so,
right.
And we work, I guess the major thing is we work well together,
of course.
Right?
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, just with the assistance at the Classic to the assistance at the 400 with, the video stage that I've used here at Florence,
I have never used
for myself.
I was at his racetrack, and I'm like, and it was packed up in the corner. I was like, hey, do you need me to go start setting that up? He's like, man, I'm not using that. He's like, I only use it for your place. And I was like, seriously?
But it's
like,
really cool.
No, it's super cool.
Like, super cool, but you know what? I'm the one that knows how to use it. So when I come here, I can play with that, you know what I mean? And I can get that right. And eventually, we'll teach people how to use it, and then it'll just become better.
They're called children.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, I think it'll work, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, just getting back to our I-95 challenge, I've heard a lot. Again, that's kind of broken up into a little thing. Everything that we try or we're trying to do kind of breaks things up so that we don't lock. Again, we want everyone to come to our races, right?
Every time.
Of course. But we get it. You know, you want to race other places. I'm like, you know, racers, they don't want to get locked in anymore. It's a different... You know what? I think a lot of everyone goes, oh, man, back in the day. Well, back in the day... People had a lot less to spend their entertainment money on. They have a lot more to now. So people don't want to get locked into a whole 18 race series, you know, whole summer going to one place, one this. And for me, I live 4.5 hours away from my track, just like you guys live at the beach, a couple hours away from here. You know, you can't have your family kind of give up their whole entire time.
Right.
So you need to find a happy medium. And you know, this is a, you know, racing is a drug that I like. So, and my whole family, thank God, likes it as well. And we like to put on those shows. And I think that the mistakes that we're going to make, clearly,
of
we're
going
to make mistakes.
Right.
I think amongst all of us, we'll fix them. And then we'll find solutions, quick, easy solutions, because we don't have to, you know, over the last several years with NASCAR, we have to do things just a little bit of a different way, right? Or some people wanted to send something back to the R&D center or tech this or tech that. Here we are. We can just make those.
Yeah, of course.
One of the major things is like rainouts. So like if we wanted to do a rainout before, you know, 7-8 years ago, we could just move it to the next Saturday or the next Sunday and just really not get approval. Now with the way that the national title is, you have to like call it in, get approval, do this, do that. And it just makes it easier for us just to try and roll this way.
Yeah.
And we haven't even put out everything.
No,
the URAs, like, you know, our point structure, the championship purse for that, or anything else like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
way to go, South Boston. Wait till you see this point structure. I can only imagine what this is going
to
look
like. Never be the first to sit back and take the notes on how to make it better.
$25,001 for first place.
Anyway, but again, we haven't put any of that out. We were talking the other day. We haven't done any of the point structure, this, that, none of it's out there.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, we're doing something, and this is what we're doing.
And that's why we start small. Like, we need to just get our blueprint together first, and then we start branching.
Yeah, super excited that we toned my guys over there down, because like he was ready. He was like, "Oh, we're five tracks in, we're six in, we're going." We're like, we're doing this, and for once I was like, "Whoa, well, we're gonna have a whole bunch of problems and issues." And like Trinity's talking to me, and she's like, "Dad, we need a corporate address." I'm like, "Oh, damn, we do need a corporate address." Well, what about envelopes? And like, oh yeah. So like, eventually everything will come out. We started with the right stuff, right? Which is, first thing that you sent me was a picture of the ID badge. Yep. You know, the IDs that everyone's going to get for their membership licenses, which we're going to ensure that they get before the end of the season.
Yep.
I think I just got mine, my license from NASCAR from last year. So, and then the benefits that they're going to have, right? We haven't even unrolled everywhere that you're going to have a discount. And then the stuff that we're talking about.
Tell them at least about the ones you know about, like, because we have more.
Howell Racing products, 10% off all their products, you know, MSRP.
Bradley.
Bradley McCaskill over at Graphics Unlimited, 10% off any wrap kits right there.
Yep.
Again, your membership license at what I've decided to do at Southern may not be the same thing that you decide here, but if you have your membership license, you know, it's going to be 10% off at the concession stand, 10% off a swag at the souvenir stand. And then, you know, we've even had those conversations about, you know, what about fuel? Yep. If you have a membership license, you save a little bit. So, you know, I think the major thing that we were trying to get across is, yes, there is going to be a membership license fee, but it has a purpose for us that we can directly give back to you, right?
And I think the one thing that we're asking, or we're going to mandate on this deal, is that if you get the license, you have to present it.
100%.
Where, like, before it was like, oh, I ordered it, I didn't, like, we know we sent it out. So if you don't have it, then you can't come up and be like, I need 10% off of this. But we do want to honor and recognize the people that are supporting us.
Sure.
And I said at the banquet, and we said before, is that just on purchasing it, you're going to save double just from the gate. Like, forget the other cool stuff we're going to do. Just from the gate, you save, right? So in people, I think the hard part for the audience, or some parts of the audience that don't see our side, and we try to sell that to everyone and kind of tell them, you know, there's the cruises, there's the payouts, there's the insurance, there's so many bills that a racetrack takes on, that I think this just kind of helps a little bit cover some of the small stuff, and then the rest we're adding on. Like, so we're taking away revenue from the fuel, from the food, to help you help us. So it's just a full circle. Like, we're all doing this together, and we just need everyone to understand that. Get your license, and when you get your license, you'll get something back in return. It's not just us doing a money grab and give me $125 and we're going to put it in our bank account. No, we're going to put it towards you in some fashion at some point.
Yeah. But just to make our program better.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Which in turn will make it better for them. You know, this is in its infancy, so. Yep.
I mean, it's nothing new. It's
got to grow, right?
There were sanctioned fees before.
So,
I mean, it's nothing new to these guys.
It's just a matter of how are we going to do it different, right?
Right.
You know, hopefully we do some things different, right? So, between all of what we do, between you're designing and printing and this, and then I'm printing, so it's all we can handle all that, right?
Yep.
Like the trash can covers and the victory lane sign and the flags and the wristbands and the IDs, and like, it's all in house now.
Yep.
So like, we don't have to wait on anything, right? Yep. So it's just a matter of people grasping it. It's new, it's different. So of course, in our world, there you're gonna have those little gripes, right?
I think keeping the personable contact too is huge. Especially at our level. I know at NASCAR, if someone had a license problem, you got to run up chain of command like you touched on. It took a while to get back. We had a guy within the first week said, well, how do I do this? I sent him a text message. Within 15 minutes, figured out.
Yeah.
He's like, well, that's like far beyond better than what we've been used to. I said, well, that's what we're trying to accomplish here.
And again, nothing against NASCAR.
No,
I believe in the program, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's great. I just think there was a little bit of a break, a disconnect, right?
I think our logo is cooler now, but...
I just think there was a disconnect, and I just think that there's some things to change that. I like all the logos, especially for Ultra Broadcasting, for URA. You know, I think it works.
It's a unique I've said this, so you've been in a lot of successful businesses. I have not seen the successful side of businesses, but I have been in multiple businesses.
Let's
cheers on that one. Come on, let's get some there. I mean,
from hot dogs.
So by the way, you hired Mike?
Yeah, right.
I was getting ready to my hot dog cart days, my karaoke days. This whole world is way more unique than I ever saw it. So the broadcasting side, the racetrack side, because you got everything from the drivers and making sure that they're happy and make sure the fans are happy and then make sure that the bathrooms are taken care of and the concession stands taken care of. And, you know, like I said, right now with the broadcast, getting all of the fine tuning of getting the logos on the website, and Paul's been working on his graphics. And I mean, just, there's just so many moving parts to this to make all of them line up. It's going to be a success come Saturday night. I'm telling you right now, though, I know everyone knows me. I drink beer. That happens.
Do you?
But okay, I am going to drink a ton of beer at the end of Saturday when this is a success.
At the end of Saturday, you drink a ton of beer? Or is it during the whole entire day?
It's probably going to be.
He really has turned the page. He's getting professional.
I'm like, sure. I mean, 100%. Holy cow. I tell you what, he's wearing the couch at the therapy office.
But a trial run today was amazing.
Yeah.
I will say that.
It was. We tuned in when we were driving down. So, yeah, I knew that you were live.
We were trying to see. Brian said the audio was good. The visual
was good. I mean, just the relay between it. Like, I was watching the car go down to the front straightaway live, and I looked down, and it was only about four or five car lengths behind. So that's phenomenal. And we'll take that for sure.
So, no, it's going to be good. And it's all about putting the effort in, right, putting the work in. You know, I tell my kids all the time, like, you know, it's not about just showing up, and you can't just be a baseball player. You got to practice at it. You got to prepare for it. You got to show up.
Do the work.
And I can't tell you that we haven't put enough in. I mean, I'm telling you right now that there's been work put in between yourself, Brian, myself, Paul, Joe. Everyone involved has put the work in, so it's the product's going to be there. We're going to take a quick short break because we don't have any live audience or live guests coming in besides Mike today, and our tap handles are dry, and then our beers are getting low. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We got a lot to talk about as far as the icebreaker goes. We've got a little bit of controversy already kind of stirring up down
not
in the
race. Not in race. There's no way.
Yep,
no
down
way.
In the pits we'd like to talk about. So,
here?
Yeah, no, it's happening.
Yeah, mix up some Kool-Aid.
I'll stir it up. It's called Michelob Ultra. But we're going to come back, so stay tuned for some more On Tap. All right, welcome back to On Tap. We're here for episode 4. We had a chance to just kind of, we said it a couple times in all the episodes we've had so far. We just, this whole series, there's no script, there's no rhyme or reason.
I didn't think we were going to make it episode 4. Dude. That was
definitely no script.
I thought this was shut down in episode 2, but all right.
It's
I'm
just
here.
Talking. It's just running our mouths. And we did that with Mike Diaz from Southern National in segment 1 of this episode. You know, Mike has done a great job. Beautiful facility. Brian and I have said it forever.
Probably my favorite truck.
Yeah, just as far as the looks, the layout, and all the stuff you've done lately with the new buildings, the Legend Car Tech building,
thank
and
you.
the tire building. I mean, you just, people don't give credit where credit is due, and I want to do it right now. So
I mean, to any of us, really.
No,
of
course.
Like on all of what we do, it doesn't matter what facility it is. I mean, people really, you know. They should shadow us.
Yep.
Just,
oh, yeah.
You know,
I don't
mean,
about
from,
shadow.
You know,
they wouldn't want to shadow because I've been by myself
the
here.
Toilets.
yeah. Cleaning trash. We talked about that. Actually, so side note is I did. What's that?
They'll bring it to Possum. You saw them again?
No, I didn't see the Possum.
Jeez,
but
awesome
no, but so Costco redid the ceilings in the bathrooms. That's our little upgrade for this time. And he did the soffit on the outside. He said, this is true story. This is why we're having this little podcast. Somebody, a human, took crap in their hand, put it up into the ceiling.
Nice.
There was human poop in the ceiling.
Nice.
Like here recently.
Yeah.
Right.
No, like last week.
That was for sure. That makes sense. That what I said about crapping on the floor. It's them kids with the trucks.
I mean,
truck,
what
so.
In the, like, we're working our tails off.
Yeah,
to
that
make
makes
this
perfect
place.
Sense.
We're working our tails off, and you guys had the chance to take a dump in your hand.
So talking about that is like, so, you know, like when you know, the Thanksgiving Classic, of course, ends, we winterize the track. Never really thought I'd have to lock the bathrooms. It's in a fenced-in area, but you know, all the toilets and everything are flushed. They're winterized, so they're definitely cleaned. You have to do that. But sure enough, we had to start locking the bathrooms because when we would come back in, you know, December just to check on the track or January or whatever, the toilets would be full, and we're like, who? I mean, what are we driving down Newsom Mill Road and say, you know what? I think I'm gonna go crap at the track today.
No, I know a very nice, happen, it was very nice bathroom right over here.
Yeah,
it was Park, the cat.
Right, 100%. The Park's cat. Still around, so like Chris kept them. So I mean, it's weird, right? So again, if someone were to ever follow like our day to day or anything else like that, or then even like ours, right? Because you guys travel in again, and then I travel in, and then sometimes, you know, I'm pulling into the racetrack at 12:30, 1 o'clock at night, and then you pop in the RV, and there's nobody there. It's kind of dark, and like. I know you guys got to do it, because sometimes I'm like going, what in the hell am I doing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just to come down here a day or two early, away from the family, to come down here and, you know, I am about to get yelled at.
Yeah. To get
somebody.
Yelled at.
I'm about to get yelled at by somebody. Yeah. Somebody is going to tell me the tires suck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, perfect example. Yeah, it's good, yeah.
Because you built them. It was your fault. You did.
Hold that. Because I know where you're
going. Okay, all right. So I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you. I have some stories about that.
No, I know. We're going to have a segue.
Okay.
So Joe Malis for Topper Media had a chance today to catch up with Doug Barnes. He's going to be fine. I think end of day when this is all said and done, we're going to explain here in a minute why we feel he'll be fine. But we're going to take a minute here and we're going to just step into what Doug's thoughts were. As far as today's practice and how he feels the Hoosier Tigers are going to be this weekend.
Joining us is driver number 88, Doug Barnes Jr. Doug, talk to us about today. Looks like you were seventh fastest on the board. What did you learn in practice with your new team?
I got to learn about him a little bit last Thursday. We came up here and we just had a fun day of testing, and I thought we were really solid. And then it's not so much what I learned with the team, it's more what I learned about the tires, man. I did a mock run and we were junk, and then I'm out there on 15 lap tires running 18, 40s, and 50s. And then just to try something, we put on our teammates, Laney's Southern National tires from last November that probably had 50, 60 laps on them, and just started running 0.2 consistently faster than what we were already on. So, I don't know, man. We're kind of at the mercy of the tires when it comes to this race. So I'm just hoping we can get lucky with it.
Kind of puts you in a little bit of a box there in that type of situation where it's maybe luck of the draw, you think?
Completely luck of the draw. I don't know. I want to go find Brian and Steve and talk to them a little bit about it, because I feel like we would be we wouldn't be the only people that would vote towards picking them for this race. Because, I don't know, man, it'd just be really frustrating to come this far and spend this much money to just have a bad night because the tires are bad. You know what I mean? It'd be nice to have some input on how our race plays out.
Well, on the bright side of things, you know, let's go back to the 400. You finished second there. You've won this race before. You think if you guys can get the tire situation, you know, handled or a little bit more focused in, where you have some direction on it, do you think that you can be in contention to win this race?
Absolutely, yeah, because Lee brings good cars. I feel like I'm good at this track. And I would honestly, with these 100-lap-plus, 80-lap-plus tires, I would much rather race on these than my 15-lap tires I was on for a little while in the past, like, hour, 2 hours. And that's just, you know, I think if we got a good set of tires, we'd be contenders for sure.
So, just, you know, to finish up here and just kind of looking at overall, anybody you want to thank, any sponsors out there you want to thank? Just you.
Me, myself, and I. Subscribe to youtube.com/airdoug, and you'll get to see all the behind-the-scenes footage of this race next Wednesday. So be sure to be there, and, yeah, shout out to Lee and them for having me. That is a big opportunity, but as far as when it comes to paying the bills, that's your boy. So. But I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to work with these guys. It's been a lot of fun. The vibes are good. It's a little disheartening, the tire situations that had me down, but just putting on them junk tires and running better than we were running has me in a little bit better of a mood before you know, we leave, so I can actually go to bed easily tonight.
That was Doug Barnes Jr. And his opinion on how the weekend's going to go for him and Lee Pulliam performance. Obviously, you know, we talked about it actually with Doug on property, that we had a conversation about tires and how, you know, unfortunate it is sometimes for drivers that just get a bad set of tires. And that's just something that I don't even think, and you can speak on this here in a second, Mike, is that's out of Hoosier South or Asphalt South, Jeff and Steve, and all, it's out of their wheelhouse. Like, they get the tires, they get the sizes, they order them, they get them in. We get them, you get them, and then we distribute them at that point. And we do our best to match them up. Something that we talked about in one of our episodes was we weren't going to match them up. We were just going to roll them out.
I had this very nightmare. I said, I'm going to have to match them up.
Yep, so we were just going to roll them out. And because they came in on a certain day, and Jeff and Brian and myself, and we just kept sending them into the trailer. And we said, you know what, we're just going to roll them.
Mist and rain, which plays a pretty big factor.
Oh, yeah, when you're unloading tires.
We'll add on that. So before Michael talks about everything that he knows behind the scenes, I will say, and I could be wrong here, I think it was maybe 2016 or so, when I think Continental bought out Hoosier. That's kind of when this conversation began.
Right.
About the inconsistency between the tire. I could be wrong with that. But I didn't remember this for any time before that. When that happened, I don't know if we cut costs somewhere in the making of them.
Yeah,
but, like, since then, man, it's been, like, relentless each and every weekend. Well, a tire is a problem. It's brand new.
Yeah, and I think you've talked about it, too, though, is that, and not putting this on Doug, is that at some point it's easy to sell that your car – you never miss setup, right? Like, it can't be that something is off. It has to be tires.
Yep.
Like, my car's been great all day. Well, maybe some change. Maybe the weather changed. Maybe the – like, it never is the car's problem. It has to be somebody else's fault. And then they put it on tires.
Yeah, and also, like you said, Doug is great around his place. Like, he probably didn't do this. But I will say, I mean, get your aerobic stopwatch, like old school, instead of race monitor, and do 2/10. It's pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you as a driver going out there – I'm like, I just touched myself as a driver.
You did, too.
Back in the day.
I'm just going to put it out there. You did,
yeah,
too.
I did. I mean, sorry. All right, anyhow, moving on.
This is getting X-rated.
But 2/10 is pretty quick. I remember as a kid going boom, 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 boom. It was 800s. It's the quickest I could ever do. That's just about 1/10 of a second.
Yeah. I've tried to explain that to Owen when he's doing this. Like, that, there's 2/10. So,
yeah,
I mean,
it doesn't take much to lose that. Right. And like I said, he probably didn't do that because everything's so close.
Oh, of course.
There probably is something in the tires. I mean, it's everywhere. Yeah. But somebody went behind the scenes and seen the process, right?
But before you get into the process, I'm sorry to interrupt. But I will say that Hoosier, Jeff,
no,
nobody is putting it out there and saying like, oh, we want to make such an inconsistent. Yeah. But the problem is that the social media side is hurting this, right? So like, it's a snowball effect where everyone's talking about it. And it's getting bigger and bigger, and the more we talk about it, the bigger it gets. And then the minute they have a bad situation, it's the tire's fault. And so then I'll lean on you here, Mike.
Well, now I got to add to that. Now we're going to keep going back and forth. You're about to talk,
never,
I promise
you're,
you.
You're never
going
to get it. We have to have a whole segment.
I just want to say, in Doug's video, he did say my tires are better than their tires. So I just got to throw that in there. I'm just putting it in there.
And the sanction ends today.
I had to guess, these are probably your tires.
Sanction ends
today. They're probably the leftover tires.
You're probably your
tires. But, I mean, to your point, it's frustrating because the very same people that sometimes complain about it now are the very same people that back in the day said, oh, they're black and round. They're good.
Oh, yeah.
So what changed?
I don't think I've ever heard Doug say that.
So, not Doug. So we won't use names on this next one, but
I will.
Was it 2 years ago when we were brought up, or somebody brought up about the the tires were not right, and that person was on the same tires the winner was on.
We're not bringing up names?
No.
Okay, because I know the name.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah, but you're right. Yes,
but
right.
There's times like we said about Josh. I'll say Josh Berry last year. He had a match set for the first, and he was second going into half, and then he got the same set of tires, and he was a lap down.
Code-wise, right.
But anyways.
So I'm going to chime in from a different aspect, from, like, Doug's aspect. So, of course, we know Mason and Mason races. So there's validity to it, right? Like, we've been at a racetrack, and I can tell you right now, we were at Hickory a couple years back, and we were blistering fast. And I think we were fastest in the last practice, and we bolted on a set of tires, and we qualified dead last, and it was only tires. I had to contemplate then, like, the penalty then, because I had to ask. I was like, hey, man, what? I want to run my practice tires, and they wouldn't let me run the practice tires. So then I had to contemplate saying, well, Mason, go out there and start the race and just come in, and we're just going to put the practice tires on, right? So it forces the competitors to kind of do those things. But getting in, so I'm kind of on both sides, right? So I catch it. It's a double edged. We all are to a cent when you do that, right? So we all, yes, I think there's validity in it, right? There can be some. But I had an opportunity, and very few have ever had an opportunity. I'm good friends with Jeff Freeman and his dad, Gary, and Steve, and everybody, just like we all are, right?
Yep.
But I had those conversations, and I called him, and I was like, dude, cut it. I want to go to the factory. You know, and he's like, dude, you want to? Perfect. Tim Bryant from Five Flags, his staff, myself, Jeff, Steve, I got a tour of Hoosier, and wow, what an eye opener. You think now in today's day and age that these things are going to go down a conveyor belt and they're going to be boom, this, that. A tire is touched, God, 100 times by people, individuals. You know, it starts with just mixing the compound. It's somebody who goes over, he's on a digital scale, and he takes a scoop and puts it into a plastic bag and weighs it, and then takes another scoop, puts it in a plastic bag, gets to a certain percentage, and then wraps that bag up and drops it in a thing. And then he fills up this one, cart, and then that cart goes over, and then that goes up, and then it goes upstairs to the third level and gets melted, and then, you know, and melt it all down and everything else like that. And then this thing of rubber comes down these wraps, and there's a guy that, oh my God, this job that this guy does, I mean, 24/7, you know, same job. It's hot, it's stinky, and he is just pulling this rubber off of this reel and putting it onto this conveyor, and then it comes down a conveyor and it gets slit into the size that it needs to. And then the scrap he's rolling up and tossing it back and this, that, and the other. And it's a process, man. I mean, it goes through all these conveyors and all this other stuff just to make the rubber. And then it makes this. So an F45, they were actually producing some ST1s when we were there. I mean, it's this tall. I mean, it's a cylinder. It's this tall, and then it goes on a machine. Another guy touches. I mean, it's touched by so many people. I was mind-boggled. And when there might be an inconsistency or something like that, I can see where it might occur, you know, in a certain, even if it's the same code, I can see sometimes, because then it goes to a majority of the workers that I saw that day, a lot of nice ladies that are working there. And like the tread, the rubber is laid, it's at an angle, then they put the next one at an angle, then they put the next one, and then it's taken down, goes down a conveyor, and then like the beads, I mean, everything, there's nothing automated about this process. Right. And there are so many people that touch a tire. I left there going, wow, these things only cost that? Well, we should be paying double, yeah. Right? Because like the manpower that's involved in this, and the people that move it around and lug it and everything else like that, and then the hot presses where they take this sleeve, it's like this tall, and they stick it down in these two little presses, and then it presses. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, 13 minutes later, out pops an ST2. And then that tire, hot off the press, which is how I learned this, so that chalk mark, right? So every single tire is put on this inflator. It's inflated to 23, 25. And how they get that chalk mark is they inflate it a little bit more or not, you know what I mean, or just decrease. That's how they get that chalk mark. But every single tire from Hoosier, a guy takes it just like we do at the track, puts a tape on it, writes it down, and the inflator is, there's one inflator here, and there's another inflator on the other side. Each one does two tires. Hot tires, right, go on these inflators. They're inflated to a certain thing. He chalks them, he tapes them. In the middle, in between these two machines, is a clipboard. And every single tire, it has a code on it. Some people think the barcode means something. It doesn't. So there are other codes on the tire that actually mean something. But they can trace a tire all the way back to who put the compound in the plastic bag.
Wow.
I mean, everything is scanned. I mean, it's a system, and right, they've got it. And then that's just one portion of this factory. Yep. So, I mean, they do their due diligence. And you know what, man? When I saw so many people that actually touch these tires, there's going to be mistakes, man, because we all make mistakes, right?
Sure.
So, and they're doing a lot. Like, I've seen some things that might be coming out, like this new F45 Star. I saw it down there. You know, and you know, when they're and they test the hell out of it. They got two dynos that are down there that they can, the dyno machines that they run on the tires on, they can simulate some track movement, especially what the dyno is, it spins it at a certain rate, and then they can adjust it higher to simulate, you know, offset camber, this, that, and the other, and then they can run those things in there. So they can do some things. But when I was there, I said, but nothing's going to 100% replicate, yeah, you know, running them on a track.
Right.
But again, a lot of kudos to those guys up there. Yeah. And if people actually knew, like, I was like, why don't you guys put this video out of what, right, of what these employees do, right? Because I think the guy, yes, everyone's going to bitch a little bit, right? Because they're expensive, right? And they're this and that, or there's an issue, or it ruined their day or anything else like that. But sometimes it's great, right? So they are they doing the vice versa when it's a great day? Do you ever hear them in, like in Victory Lane going, oh, man, thank Hoosier, thank all those employees? If they actually knew what these guys did for us to go do something that we know, it might be a little bit of a different offset, right? But the Hoosier factory, like I told them, I was like, man, you need to like put these little video, like little market this. Apparently, the old owners didn't want to do that for trade secrets. But, you know, now I walk through that factory, I'm like, I'm pretty positive. And no trade secrets in there because it's still done like they've done it originally, right?
So regardless of the compound, the same manpower was invested in each.
Every single one. So the only thing that changed.
The nothing from the F-45. Same manpower invested in.
Same way that they do it.
Mini stock tires, dirt tires.
So when I was there on one of the presses, they have like, I think they have like 26 of the 27 of these station of four presses, right? And at the same time, like on this press over here, an ST2 was being made, and right behind it was a dirt tire with knobs and, you know, with knobbies and everything else like that. So, and the manpower, you know, like they have three shifts. So like, you know, like, and of course the night shift and then they have a middle shift and then they have the morning shift. Like I was cracking jokes and I was like, well, I think the morning shift is like the kind of like the veterans, right? So, of course, the night shift is going to be the
maybe
rookies,
that's how
right?
they should label them now.
I was sitting in there, and I told Jeff, I said, dude, I want all morning shift tires. Yeah. That's what I want because they're like they've had breakfast. They might have had a good morning. Yeah. You know, they're not tired. Yeah.
That's been a rumor. Like, look at the handwriting on the hot marks. Yeah. If they all match, that's the good ones.
And I'll 100%, man, I'm going to agree with you, man, because I've been there. I've seen it. I've smelt it. The factory is – it's cool. You would. I really think Hoosier needs to put these little like clips out. Like, even if you just say, "Hey, this is Joe Blow, Employee of the Month, and this is what they do."
Right.
I mean, just to it starts with the rubber, and then there's an automated press there, and it's the bead that is an automated machine that actually spins the metal, creates the bead, and then there's one guy, and he sits there all day, and he just takes this thing off this machine and puts it on a rack, takes it, and that's what he does 8 hours a day. And that's what he does. And then those beads then go over to another station where she takes that bead off of that, puts it on a machine, it stretches it out to make the circumference, and then she takes another type of rubber. When they say the construction of the tire and we strengthen the sidewall and strengthen this, all of that rubber is all manufactured separately. And then they take it and she takes maybe a 4-inch thing of rubber that's coming directly at her, and she puts that metal bead on this bead platen, and she takes that and spins it around and then uses a machine and then cuts it out of 45 and then seams it and then takes another piece, does that. And then she takes that off of that and puts it on a rack.
Yeah.
And then and that's what she does 8 hours a day. And you know that they've been there for a minute, right? Because, you know, they have their – you know, they have their stickers and their loved one pictures and you know what I mean? And they've all been there forever, right? And, you know – what I was thinking was like, like Apple and iPods, you know, earbuds and all that stuff. Like everybody's got their headsets on. Everyone's listening to their own music.
Just, they get used to just their hands are just
100%. But it's Somewhere really a neat, right? And like anybody, I mean, I think URA needs to do a tour, right? And we just load everybody up and we just like at the PRI, we can schedule it. And it's really neat and fascinating to see how these tires are made. But like the F-45 Star, I saw it down there. Again, they were explaining to me the construction of it and really what was going to change and how it was going to change. And they can implement those changes. The thing that I didn't know and that a lot of people don't know is like the F-45 is still the F-45 from 30 years ago. So nothing's changed on it, right? So that's why they're going through a reconstruction process to reconstruct it. And just, you know, I think that there's some neat things coming out on the horizon. And I did see some other stuff and I was like, please don't put that out until you're ready to put that, you know what I mean? So there's some neat stuff coming up, that I think may change, but it that's a drastic change. And I was like, well, we don't need that right now. Right. So, but the F-45 Star, I what they've changed in it is just a little bit on the sidewall and a little bit, but it's still built the same way an F-45 is.
Right.
So
with Doug's conversation, I think the tire, you know, I'm glad Mike got a chance to go and see it because he told me the same stories he just told you guys. I got to hear it kind of firsthand and you know, understanding the work we put into a racetrack and understanding the work they put into a tire. The fact that we even get 750 tires, like listening to how he says how they build it and have to – for us to even, because we're just one racetrack. So these people are making them for
that
all
middleman,
of the racetracks.
Freeman, all they got to touch every tire that comes to their plant, go to multiple racetracks. How many tires he say he touches in a week?
Oh, like, yeah. It's just him, Summer, and Steve. They're the only ones.
Or just two or three.
Yeah.
Molds, right?
Right.
So we're not even talking about the dirt side of it. We're not even talking about the karting side of it.
We should just be thankful that we get tires. Right. You know, and I could definitely see where during COVID things got weird because
the resin,
you know,
right? Wasn't that material?
Well, it was resin and people.
So back to your statement. Back to your statement when I think it was Nugent's who used to own it, and then they sold it. So the very beginning of the tour was like they have. So Hoosier there has their own R&D center, their own chemical breakdown center, their own everything. So we got to see a little bit of how they test it, how they do everything from the chemical compound of it too. But they'll take a competitor's tire, bring it up there, take a little core of it, and they'll break it down to find out what it is, how they're doing it, this, that, and the other. It was really neat. And I think that they need to do, if trade secrets or not, they still need to show the world how a tire is made, show the racers how a tire is made. So they can better appreciate the amount of effort that's put into these. And, like, yeah, I mean, everybody knows me. I was nosy. So, like, I broke away from the group.
You were Griswold with
the gum. That's right.
So, first thing I thought of, too. So, Freeman comes over to me, and he goes,
I'm going to be here for a while.
He goes, hey, man, we need to kind of maybe stay with the group a little bit. And I'm like, why, man? The group's talking about stuff I don't want to talk about. I want to talk. I was literally talking and making friends with all the employees, right? Because I wanted to know, all right, seriously, if there's a problem, where's it starting? So, like, and some of them were telling me that, like, because I'd asked somebody, I'm like, hey, man, how many of these beads do you move every single day? And he's like, oh, probably in a given day, you know, I'll probably do 500, 600. So that's 500, 600 times he's doing this.
Yeah.
And then the lady who makes the beads, and she's like, well, I probably do about 250. And then, like, the when you have this big cylinder and they actually kind of start to make the tire before they put it into the press, you know, he's like, well, I'll get about 125 of these done a day. And I'm like, okay. And then the guy at the press, and I'm like, well, how many tires do you press a day? And then, you know, and then do the inflator and get it all done. He's like, yeah, I'm probably about 150, 200 tires. And I'm thinking to myself, well, damn, I just ordered 1,000.
Yeah, how did we get there?
So, like, how did we get to, if this one guy does this, how do we get to 1,000? And how many of these workers are actually, and again, we're just one series, one tire.
Yep.
So there's a lot of kudos to those guys 100%. On what they do, man. You know what I mean?
And like I was getting to is that, so Doug's, His struggles are real. Like, we get it.
100%.
But at the same time, you know, Hoosier's doing the best they can. They're not going to give us a product that's garbage. At least they're not going to try. Right. You know what I mean? They're going to put...
That's not their intention at all.
No. And then same time for us, I know we talked about it, but we have now, and Brian can speak on it, and you can give numbers, I don't care, is Brian, whether it means anything or not, every car this weekend at the Icebreaker will be on a match set of tires, not... All four are the same numbers, but...
For the feature. Or qualifying.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so for qualifying in the race, everyone will be racing on the exact same tire. Good, bad, or indifferent. Everyone, so if they are slow, or if they're off from everything, everyone else is slow with them.
Hopefully. It goes back to the homework-like setup. Somebody figure it out better is all I can tell you.
Yeah, because on our end, that's all we can do. We look, like I know Doug said in his video, well, let them go pick. Well, what do they see different than you and I see?
If there's a difference in the molds or the barcodes or whatever, we pulled it out. We put out – there were 17 different combinations that you can come up with from the 750 we got this weekend. So I said, there's not enough for 40 sets or 41 sets is what I ended up making from any particular combination I can think of. So the only way I looked at it is I can pull two from this big stack 41 times, one from this stack 41 times, and 41 from this stack. And I can make 41 stacks that are exactly the same. Practice, we can't promise because there's so many different combinations. But we can say that all, I think we're going to end up with 30-something, but there's 41 sets that they will not get for practice. But when it comes to race time, everyone's on the same set.
That's all you can do. Yeah. So, like, and at Southern, we've moved it to where, you know, you guys come and help them out. But Mason's the one who's kind of down there doing it. So, that kind of helps us up there, and you guys as well. You know, we're different from other tracks. We have racers that are actually – so none of us want anybody to have a bad set of tires because
real bad,
it's in our blood, right? So
time out, like, back to the construction, the barcodes. Explain so, that. Yeah. So I know, so, but you go ahead and explain.
So the barcodes, everyone, that little decal that's on there, yes, it is a barcode, but they are sheets of paper. They are just decals, and they just say, okay, here's a stack. You're doing 100 tires. Here you go. And if one page falls on the floor, they'll just take another page and put it in there, and then they'll go. They are the same numbers, right? But that barcode is irrelevant to the compound. There are other numbers on the tire that are the more relevant ones that you can trace. That barcode, they can't trace that barcode back to the compound. It's the other markings on the tire that...
Which is actually branded in the sidewall.
That is branded, yes, in the sidewall that they can trace back to the person, the date, the time, everything about that compound. That's what I thought was just fascinating, because I'm looking in this warehouse of all this stuff and all this chemical, not liquid chemical, but powder chemical that they melt down to make this rubber. And by the way, tires are white, and they add a resin to it to make them black. And which what I thought was really kind of cool is I was like, you know what, man, if we can do that, can we get orange? Because then, like, for the Thanksgiving yeah. Classic, I said, man, I'd really like to race on some orange tires, right?
Again, back to you thinking outside.
Sounds like, a Lightning McQueen radiator, I mean, spring.
So wouldn't it be cool, the icebreaker? We have blue tires.
Yes,
that would be, you know what I'm saying? Cool. So again, but they can track it all the way back to the person who mixed the compound for that batch of tires. And when you do things, it's 288. So do things in the series sets of 288, because it's a 288 batch. That's when they say, hey, oh, in this bat, it's 288. Right. No matter what, it's 288. It's 288.
Here it comes. I got 284 and 289. I'm screwed.
Yeah,
geez, it's coming.
I'm just telling you. You know, so that's. But again, I think it's neat how they can trace it all the way back. Yeah. So the bad thing is there's too many people that speculate, right?
No, of course.
And so the speculations turn into what we all like to say in our racing build, it's reality, right? Yeah. That's what they're it's right there. They're focused on it. Yeah. Right. So, I think the way that you're doing the tires, it's the best way you can do it. Right.
Well, and people should see it and know about it, is that at least I know, cause I've seen both sides of it for Florence and Southern National. Mason does an amazing job, and Brian does an amazing job, and we're giving the racer the best scenario we can. After that, we apologize and we hate it for you, but this is like,
I can promise we definitely don't want to load, unload.
But I also will say that Jeff and Steve and Summer and the whole Freeman family are doing the same thing. Yeah. You know, they want this, like, they wouldn't want to see Hoosier or the sport go down because tires aren't doing well.
That's right.
They're going to give the best product they got. And we all understand at some point the certain tires have to come out of the warehouse because we're not just going to throw them away. So you might not get the newest of the new, but they're still good tires. They wouldn't give us, you know, like if you got a flat soda, you're not going to keep selling flat sodas. At some point you're going to have to move stuff over here and maybe give it to the, you know.
But you should turn around and go to a gas station. This is not good. Give me another.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But anyways, I just really think that Jeff and his team and Steve and them, they're doing a great job. They just right now everyone's talking about Hoosiers and or not Hoosiers, but tires in general. You know, even NASCAR does it. Constantly Goodyear's being called out for this tire and that tire. So I mean, it's a good scapegoat.
So, you know, at our break, we were kind of talking about how Doug is like, oh man, the tires at Southern National, this, that, and the other. I mean, let's just be realistic. Probably the same tires.
You're probably on them.
You're probably on the ones that I didn't use at the Classic, yeah, right, because they are coming out with this new F45 Star, which is, they just tested it. They just did it, and they just don't have enough time to produce.
Right.
So, chalk lines are a little bit different, which is kind of leading me to believe that maybe they made a small batch or something like that, and that they kind of probably still did it the same way. So I guarantee you that some of the tires are going to be our race, and then they made a batch to subsidize what we would need for this race.
Right.
And then, you know, the next race is going to be this new F45 stuff.
Well, like I said, I hope, because again, we said it last time, I'm a Doug Barnes fan. I know he's frustrated today, but I hope he ends up winning. And I hope he ends up running on the same tires. And when it's all said and done, it's easy to look at it that way. But when you're celebrating in victory lane, it's a whole nother story. Yeah. So Brian's done a good job. Tires are matched up. Every car in the field.
I can't promise Sager correctly, like Harry Hogg would say, but they are matched.
But they're going to be in a good spot. Everyone's going to have a fair shake at the race. Again, practice can't promise, but at the same time, the race qualifying is going to be good. So that was our tire conversation. We're going to take one more final break before we end this episode four. It was again, I knew Mike was going
to
get.
I was about to bring up a note.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm telling you, man. I'm bringing you. I'm just chalking in. PRI, you're coming.
Yep.
I'll talk to Steve. I think everybody. I think it just should be out there on how, like I said, how people make these tires. Man.
I still like Brian's. Like the minute you said how you ventured off, all I could think of was Chevy Chase in any of the like in the.
I'm trying to fix you.
Come on, Mike. We're on the damn tour.
Y'all go ahead,
dude. I was down the hallway like talking to other people and like,
where does this door go?
Where do I get the damn bait?
So Mike and up there like you know, and Jeff was like, oh, don't worry about Diaz. He's making friends. I was literally talking to everybody.
He's climbing up the.
I was talking to everybody, going, hey, you know, how do you do this? I wanted to find out. Hey, where are these issues?
Nice. Oh shoot, but anyways, that was tire conversation. Again, Doug Barnes vocal and open, which is good. We like that, especially for ultra broadcasting and on tap. Gives a little bit of content and no hard feelings. So he didn't
how about any... our boy Joe, man? He's really digging in there. He's getting the questions too, like, whoa, yeah. Joe, who signed you on here, man? We try our what we can, but yeah, he does great.
But that was our tire conversation. But like I said, we're going to go to a break and we're going to come back. We're going to finish episode four off with Mike Diaz. So thank you for being a part of On Tap for episode four. All right, welcome back to On Tap. With myself, Brian, Mike Diaz is here from Southern National. We just got done having a very intense conversation about tires.
It stepped up a notch, I'll tell you.
Yeah, got a little heated there with Doug. I know he's not too happy with him, but we had a chance to explain our side of it, and Mike took a tour of the factory. So we can't tell you any more than we just did.
We
so.
Tried calling Doug, but he sent us the voicemail. I'm kidding. No, that's a joke. That's a joke.
He didn't.
We actually had a conversation with him. He's in a better place now.
Yeah, yeah. Brian, if no different than we talked about at the very beginning of this episode, is if you can just give us a minute and instead of getting ahead of yourself and getting frustrated, ask the question, we'll explain ourselves where it makes sense. I mean, for the situation, for the drivers, for the teams, on property, for the icebreaker, we've given everyone the best shake that they can.
So I'll kind of say where that went. He came up and said, how about we do a pill draw to say the order that you pick out your race tires? And I said, that sounds good in theory, but let me play devil's advocate on your behalf. I said, what you're seeing in that truck is not all that we have. And he said, what you mean? I said, I've already matched up 41 sets, so everyone's going to get the same. And he was still a little hesitant. And I said, I'm just going to say on your behalf, if you were to draw 30, and you went in there, 30th in line, and everybody else got everything else that was in there, and then you got the same set that you're saying is bad, how would you feel? Well, I'd be screwed. So that's why we match up at least your race sets.
Yeah, at least everyone's on the same page. Yeah. So it's all good. Going to be a great icebreaker, as always. Had a couple fall out, which I will take a minute to say that on behalf of myself, and I'll speak on Mike's behalf, myself, Brian, and Mike, we are thinking about the Tyler Matthews family.
Yeah,
found out that Tyler's dad had a heart attack recently, so he won't be joining us this week. And we just wanted to take a minute to say we're thinking about you guys.
Past track champion at Southern, 100%. Great people, good people. So it's done a lot for racing, and especially in a local short track area.
Yep. So yeah, we're sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that. Yeah. And we're thinking about you guys. So we lost him as a car, but completely understand, obviously, the family first always.
Absolutely.
But still going to be a 30-car field, going to be a great show. The racing is going to be phenomenal, as always. It's 125 laps this week, where unlike the 400 where we had some breaks and all that, basically best man wins, or lady, with Laney out there. With
Laney tires, you got to save them.
Yep. So no, it's going to be cool. We're excited to have it. It's again, glad that it's here because it's time for us to get back to work. Glad to have episode four here on tap. Thank you to all our sponsors. Thank you to Citrus Safe, presenting sponsor for this weekend. Thank you to Mike for being a part of this show.
Mike,
enlightening us on a whole new world. that we didn't know about.
It's a whole new world.
Oh, we definitely got to end up now. Yeah, he's starting to sing it. Yeah. We already heard it. Karaoke was a failed venture. No, so right. It's time to.
I can do stroke. Yeah,
I definitely don't want to hear any hot dog videos.
Oh, we can go.
Playing with wieners. We just don't want to hear that.
I still don't even know where my hot dog cart is. I own a hot dog cart. I don't even know where it is.
The second half of episode four, forthcoming.
Absolutely.
Let me talk about it.
People say I can talk.
This is definitely bar talk. No doubt.
100%.
Anyways.
It was
a good episode. Again, we're just here to have a good time and kind of express,
it was good. Don't screw it up.
Express our side of the story. Listen to the racer's side of the story.
Yep.
And we're going to put that, just like we said again, at the very beginning of the episode, that it's our chance to hear that and then to make it better before the weekend's over. It's still only Thursday. I'm looking at the timer. It's 7:56 currently here on property. So we still got a long ways to go, and we're excited about it. So thank you guys for joining us here on tap, and we look forward to seeing you. I don't know actually when episode 5 is going to come out because I leave Sunday morning, and I'm going to be in Florida. So we either have to do this remotely.
We know who the star of the show is. We've got to work around his schedule.
Yeah, 100%. God, yeah, got to worry about his Florida vacation and everything.
It's Owen. Yeah. Owen's the star of the story. So we've got to go chase him.
But he had to tell us he was going to Florida.
Maybe right? I'll pull off like a Burgundy in part two, just report the news as it happens around.
So maybe Brian will do
I'll just look at race monitors.
We got all these fancy lights, so you got to at least
Steve right now is pacing. Owen's ninth on the board. Nope. Owen just jumped up to fourth. Steve is now excited.
Yep. I will say that we had that conversation with Skylar earlier, is that Kevin loves, and Mike can speak on this, is Kevin gets to enjoy watching Keelan, and you get to watch Mason. I'm telling you, man, there is nothing like watching Owen. It's totally different. Like, this is all stressful. This is all terrible. But when you get to just sit back and watch them race, it is, first off, is stressful. I like, you have a little, you seem to control it a little bit better than I do. I pace a lot. Like, I do a ton of
moving. When Mason raced bandos, man, I would go up on my hauler, and you could see exactly where I was. I used to pace. Yep. It gets a little bit, just a little bit easier. But, I mean, hell, I'm practically forcing Mason to go racing now.
Yeah,
and again, whole topic, different conversation. With the cost of everything and this, that, and the other, and as your kids grow up and, you know, and as they get older, I mean, hell, I mean, Mason's here with just himself working on his car. He's kind of like determined to do it himself, so kudos to him, with the help of a lot of friends that he has in that pits, and, you know, and he gets it. But, yes, to your point, I mean, it gets a little bit better, but it's still really cool to watch a kid race.
I hope, so the plan for Brian and I this year is I'm going to make it where Brian and I race Martinsville this year.
I get good tires.
And
I've already got my car ready for September 27th.
What's September
27th? I mean, it's the Martinsville date. It came out today.
Well, we know who's prepared.
So, 100%, right? Yeah. So like, you know, you go and race that, and I drove a Virginia racer last year for the first time, so I'm like, what the hell? You know what?
Oh, yeah, you could get in.
Put me in the entry list for Martinsville, right?
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Pretty I got to get Robert to spot for me if he's not racing, right? So, I mean, who knows, right? So that'll be something to talk about.
Cars will be represented.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if I'm telling you right now, like, wait till you guys.
Decals
just,
will be flowing.
Yeah, just give this a minute to just soak in that URA logos will be paid for. There's some things that are being talked about.
I'm thinking about making URA dollars, and when we walk around and someone's wearing a URA sweatshirt, we're just going to give them a dollar that they can use to help offset their costs at the racetracks, right?
Mid battle down the back, he's pointing at URA out the window. That's right. Yeah.
He gets a free tire.
He's holding the flag. There's URA flags like just coming down the front stretch.
It's about branding, right? We flood the market. I mean, I look at Facebook and stuff like that, and like I comment on anybody. If you notice, I'll comment. I don't comment much. I'm trying to comment less.
Well, as much.
As much, right?
Right.
But like if someone has a Southern National or a Thanksgiving swag on, I'm like, oh, awesome swag. I don't know. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know who that is, but awesome swag, right? So, and that's what's going to happen with the URA.
Oh, yeah. 100%. So what I was getting at is my kind of finale for me when it comes to the racing, I was talking about the kids stuff, is how awesome would it be if I could figure out a way to have Owen and I in Martinsville, you know, someday. You know, that would
I'm not going to try this. Owen will skip over me.
Oh, yeah, you're getting kicked out. But I think, anyways,
first race at Dominion.
If it wasn't for the fact that I love racing, I'd rather be right now with Owen. I love every yeah. minute of just watching him race and being a part of that.
It's a transition, right, from when I raced. I mean, that's how I got into it, right? One of my employees, and I could kill him now because of, you know, the amount of money that he's cost me. But one of my employees dragged me to Watkins Glen for a time trial with EMRA, right? It's a road course thing, and that's how I got involved in it. But now it's like that's 100%. So the very first race at the new Dominion Raceway, which is, you know, kind of ODS, Old Dominion Speedway, was our original home track where I took over the go-karting series there. That's kind of like how I got enthralled in this. And then, so Dominion Raceway, I actually raced the very first race there that Mason won in a Legend car. And the only thing that I wanted was just his ass not to lap me, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
And another five laps and it would have been done, right? Because I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like going, oh, crap, I'm going into one, he's coming out of four, we got three laps, he just can't lap me on the very first race, right? So it's cool, and I hope you get that opportunity because there's nothing more special than you just don't suck like I sucked.
Well,
but, hey, you know,
I had a chance, I drove against my dad at Oswego. He was only practicing a car, but it's something that sticks in your brain, right?
100%.
Anyways, we're sidetracking. We said goodbye, I think, 10 minutes
ago. I'm just sitting back enjoying these conversations.
Your chance will come, I'm sure, at some point.
We said goodbye 10 minutes ago, but we will say goodbye now. It's been a great day. It's been a handful, and we got two more days of it. It's going to be great. We're looking forward to we're going to have James Pike tomorrow doing a live broadcast here at Florence Motor Speedway on ultrabroadcasting.com. And then Saturday, man, putting it to full force. We got a drone coming in, the full drone. We got five PTZs. We got cameras. Mike's brought in some in-car footage that we're going to try to make it work. So
I talked to a buddy of mine who does some in-car stuff for Sargent on the ASA, and he's kind of led me in the right direction. So hopefully it works. And if it does, you know, we'll have two or three of them the next go around, right? So
it's gonna be cool. So we're working hard to make Ultra Broadcasting again. We're not trying to start tripping over broadcast companies or do anything crazy. We just want to put on the best broadcast we can for this event and Southern National events and anything that we
for
put
our
hands
events,
up.
Right?
Yeah.
So like,
what
matters to us,
right?
And then we that could be a whole other episode on kind of why we did this, which I think we should get into because I think people need to understand that. But you know, like. You know, we can do things for our sponsors. We can do – it's just better, all around better. It keeps it home. It keeps it here. You know, like you said on some of your podcasts, if the teams have someone sponsor, give us those videos.
Yeah.
You know, give us that little 15-second commercial. Let's get them on that broadcast. You know what I mean? The more stuff that we can do for that to help them gain sponsorship without – and we're not going to charge anybody. Let's just get it out there. Let's try and make it better for us, right? Yeah. And that's what we're focusing on.
And not to brag or toot our own horn, but we're doing this at the same time we're also managing the infield, all these racers and fans. Like, we're doing it all.
You know, 100%. This is not a one-person deal, right?
No, right?
So, I mean, this is a team. This is a team of individuals, you know, from your kids to our wives to other families. It's a team of people to put a show on, especially when you move into trying to take care of all this stuff like we're trying to do.
Yep.
It's hard, and it takes a lot.
Yep. So we hope you enjoy it. We hope you enjoyed this little episode 4. And tomorrow, again, James Pike will be on air doing a little live footage here at Florence Motor Speedway during the final round of practice for the late models. And then Saturday, going to be a heck of a show. So make sure if you're not subscribing, get in there and subscribe. If you got friends and family that are looking to do it, again, the biggest thing I'll tell you is subscribe. You can cancel as soon as it's over. So if you don't want to be on part of the whole year, cancel it. But right now, tune in for the Icebreaker. It's going to be amazing. As soon as that's over, though, we're going right to Speed Weeks. Speed Weeks is going to be 5 days of racing, and that money's going to be well spent. So we're going to take all the things we're doing here, transition up Southern National into, as Skylar was trying to figure out, Lucama, North Carolina.
Lucama, North Carolina. People call it Kenley, but let me tell you, they'll battle you over that. It's in Lucama, North Carolina.
Yeah, we're going to Lucama, and we're going to put on a hell of a show. So, again, thank you for being part of our broadcast and our podcast here on tap, and we'll see you next time.